Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to this week's episode of Never Thought I'd Say This. I am one of your hosts, Jody Sweetin,
I was going to say I'm your other host, and I didn't even know you were giving me a lead-in, but I'm Celia Behar.
Well, I rarely ever do give a good lead-in, or a good segue for that matter. They're always terrible.
To be totally honest, I need to be led into everything at this point, because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing anymore. I'm so overwhelmed with everything.
Who does? I still feel like it's March. Everywhere. Yeah. We have very exciting news today.
Yeah.
We have a guest that we've been looking forward to for a while. Yeah. And we're super excited that he's here today, yeah. That he has acknowledged us on our crazy little podcast.
Oh, shit.
Yes, and you hear him now. Celia, would you like to do our intro today? I always introduce.
And although I might let him say more obviously than I could ever say about him, but we have one of the co-founders of the Lincoln Project joining us today. It is Mr. Regalen, and I am so excited that you're here. We both have been talking about it so much. We've been following the Lincoln Project steadily since its start. We understand it did not just start out of the fucking blue. We know that you guys have been around for a long time.
My lack of hair proves that.
I bet. I've watched so many of your interviews. I have favorites. We'll discuss them. I know Jody does too. Yes. And I know Jody's mom is also freaking the fuck out.
I told my mom, I said, Regalen is going to be on our show, one of the co-founders of the Lincoln Project. Mom was like, oh my God, tell him. My mom, my parents live in Orange County. And
really? Whereabouts?
They live in like near Long Beach, Los Alamitos, Seal Beach sort of area.
Yeah. Okay. And, yeah. We used to live in Newport. So okay. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So, and that's, you know, I grew up down there, grew up in Seal Beach, been back to protest in Seal Beach. And you know,
cool
as
town.
You know, yeah, I love Seal Beach. But it's definitely, a very, very not diverse, Orange County.
Yeah.
I believe our commander in shitbag was there yesterday.
But he was in Newport. Yeah.
He was in Newport Beach on Lido Isle. And, and one of the guests said he was totally with it. He didn't freak out at all. It was like he was, you know, it was like the worst quote ever in the LA Times about like how he hadn't lost his mind.
Which is really the state of affairs at this point. But real quick, we'd love to get your parenting stats since you are a dad, and we would love to.
Sure. Yeah. I have two girls. They are 10 and 8.
Woo! Just so. In the club. Woo!
Yeah.
Yeah. They keep me running. So.
Yes,
yeah.
We are. All the parents of two girls, all with mine are 12 and 10, so we're a little bit ahead.
Yeah, and mine are 14 and 9. So raise yourself, really 13.
Run the gamut.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like the 10-year-old's starting to get the feels.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. If that makes sense.
That's where. That's when it starts for
that's
sure.
My 10-year-old has started to get my 10-year-old had a lot of feels to begin with. There was just feels over everything.
Yes.
And so now I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, it's just going to be just all feeling all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thankfully I have a black lab named Buck that, that I run to when I need to.
That balances out the score a little bit for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, my poor boyfriend lives with me, my two girls, and a dog that we just rescued, who is also a woman and a very, very needy one at that. So he's just, surrounded by,
God. Reed, for anybody who doesn't know, and I know that there are listeners who probably don't, specifically, we have international listeners, so I don't know how much you know they're aware. Will you tell everybody out there a little bit about the Lincoln Project so that people know what that is and, you know, why you guys started it?
Sure. So more than a year ago, four of us got together on the phone, myself, Steve Schmidt, who y'all might have seen on television a lot, Rick Wilson, who you might have seen on television a lot, a guy named John Weaver, got on the phone and said, what are we going to do about Donald Trump? I mean, you know, we all worked for some combination of John McCain, George W. Bush. Schmidt and I worked for Governor Schwarzenegger together. And so we just said, well, you know, we're not going to do this anymore. I left the GOP in 2016 after Donald Trump got the Republican nomination. Said if this is where the party wants to go, you know, it can count me out. So we launched last December 17th with an op-ed in the New York Times and basically said, you know, we want to take on Trump and Trumpism and, you know, defeat him and all of the aiders and abettors in the Republican Senate or Republicans in the Senate. And remember, this was pre-COVID, pre-impeachment. So we had no idea what was going to come. We thought that we were going to raise about $25,000 the first couple of weeks. We raised $400,000 the first day. And, you know, now we've got, we've got, you know, 2.5 million people on Twitter and another 700,000 on Instagram and Facebook. So it's like 4 or 5 million people total. You know, we've got 35 staff, 60 interns. You know, we've raised $65 million. And, you know, if you told us any of this was going to be the case when we started this, we would just thought you were lying to us. So, you know, we have been out there. We pride ourselves on Republicans have a particular way of running campaigns in which we run. We run to win. Mm-hmm. We campaign to win. Democrats want to win, but they want to win the right way. Does that make sense? Like they want to be able to sleep at night.
Democrats typically want to be the bigger person, you know, what the, as Michelle Obama had said, you know, when they go low, we go high. And I think what we're now seeing is that, you know, the better person doesn't always win.
Yeah.
Sometimes
you
have to
always,
Yeah. So, you know, I went to high school and college in Texas and there's a guy down there. Well, there's a company down there called Red Adair. Red Adair. And they put out oil fires. Like that's what they do for a living. Mm-hmm. And the way you put out an oil fire is not with water or sand or hope. It's by depriving it of oxygen. And there are certainly different ways you can do that. In the real world, the way you do that is by blowing it up. You create an explosion that creates a vacuum and puts a fire out. Donald Trump is a political oil fire. Like you're not going to beat him by being nice to him and saying, I hope you stop doing what you're doing, Donald Trump. You have to get in his face. You have to stay there. You have to keep him from moving freely and from getting that oxygen he's so used to, right? He literally needs like the Klieg lights to function correctly, right? And so that was always our initial idea was like, just keep him as close as you can. You know, we were sort of an interesting startup, for lack of a better way to put it, from December to May, early May. And then we ran an ad called Morning in America, which for your political nerd listeners, the Ronald Reagan campaign in 1984 ran an ad called Morning in America. Mm-hmm. But it was about like how great the country was after 4 years of Reagan. Right. This was like how bad the country is after 2 months of Donald Trump in the time of COVID. We buy Fox News in Washington, D.C. every week during Fox and Friends, Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity, because we know he sits in the residence of the White House with his Super TiVo and he watches Fox News like an old man.
Right.
And so we do that every week. And so he saw our ad. He attacked us on Twitter by name, called us losers and everything else. We'd raised about $2.5 million up to that point in 4 months. We raised $2 million the day after that. And the rest has been history. So he gave us table stakes. He gave us exactly what we wanted, which was we became his prime antagonist. And so, you know, that gave us what we wanted, which was, again, we just never let him go. We keep him as close as we can. And we've sort of decoded how you get inside his head, which is the guy's the most transparent dude in history. He tells you exactly what he's worried about, exactly what he's sensitive about. And so we just took that and we put it into practice. And the thing is that like people say, oh, well, you know, you're sort of stooping to his level and blah, blah. Like everything you see in our ads is true.
Yeah.
Like we don't lie. We don't twist facts. We don't twist statistics, everything else. Like if he did it, it's out there.
Yeah. You're not propaganda based at all.
No.
I mean, sometimes it feels that way because it's effective.
But that's the thing. It's like you don't even have to be these days because it's like, what insane propaganda and bullshit could you create that's more outlandish and crazy and damaging
than
some of the things that he's already done? And, you know, my mom, like I said, is a huge Lincoln Project fan. And she just, when Steve Schmidt, I think, recently had responded in a very long
tweet,
Facebook post.
Yeah. Yep.
She sent it to me and was like, this is amazing. And I love the way that they fight because I said, I fight the same way. Like I find trolls on my page all the time. And I'm like, cool, let's go. Like, I'm not going to be the nicer person. Like you want to come and you want to talk shit, I'll do it too. Cause that's just kind of that's
fact. You guys both do it with facts.
Right. Exactly. And I think that's the really important thing is that like pushing that narrative of these are the facts and it sounds awful and horrible and mean, but this is what's happening.
I mean think about that it's, you know, that was like a week ago. I don't know, all the days feel long now.
Yeah,
but like the president of the United States
quarantine
but you know, a week ago the president of the United States, in the midst of a flailing presidential re-election campaign and a pandemic and everything else, takes time out of his day to attack a political consultant on Twitter, right? Like that's where we are. And of course Steve is like a Twitter virtuoso. Rick is more like a Twitter, like he, like in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, like Leonardo DiCaprio's flamethrower.
Right.
Like that's more of Rick's style.
Yeah.
Right. Nice. I mean, they're very accomplished at what they do. But you know, that's the thing is Trump either doesn't know or he can't control himself that when he does that to guys like us, it's catnip. It's fuel for the engine. It's grist for the mill. And so whenever he does it, we're certainly happy to take him up on it.
Right.
And you know, we've been in his head for months and we're going to stay there for the next 2 weeks.
So I know we've talked about it, you know, ad nauseum at this point, but just what a shift at home learning has been, right?
Yeah, I'd say so.
I mean, this semester's going remarkably better, but I have to say, I've been trying to add in like supplemental things. Cause you know, sometimes the kids, they'll get out early and they'll be like, oh, can I have my iPad now? I'm like, no, school hours are until, you know, a certain time. So I've been using apps to just help like with, you know, some of the basic skills that they already know, but like just reminders.
That's awesome.
And Homer has been a great addition.
What is that? I don't know about Homer.
So, okay. Homer Learn and Grow it's part of Homer's Essential Early Learning Program that builds skills for school and life. It is, that's, you know, the formal version of it.
Okay.
Basically, it is a completely personalized learning system for your kids from ages like early learners, preschool, all the way up through growing learners, you know, like B's age up through elementary school.
Wow.
And yeah, you can customize it. It's totally personalized and fun. So the program is fueled by kids' interests and it grows with them as they build their skills. So you know, you take this personalized quiz about like all the different stuff that your kids are into, whether it's science, whether it's, you know, princesses or animals or whatever. And so all of the stuff that they read about and learn about and do is within fun areas that they like.
That is so cool. I love that so much.
Great. And it helps like deepen their love of learning because it's something that they're really interested in.
Mm-hmm. So
they're personalized by your child's skill level, age, and interests. They're totally comprehensive. So it's across subject areas like reading, math, social emotional learning, creativity, and thinking skills.
So cool.
And the best part is it's safe and easy. Homer's ad-free. It's safe. You can use with kid-friendly navigation. So it's perfect for independent play. It's great if you're like out somewhere and, you know, having to wait for something, you know, a flu shot, a doctor's appointment, whatever. And they can be learning while they're having fun playing.
Oh, like instead of being on YouTube or something like that, where I don't know what they're doing?
Right. God. Yes. And it's research backed. So it's powered by the Homer method, which is the most effective way for your child to learn. It's all expert designed. It's research backed. And their app is proven to increase reading scores by 74% with just 15 minutes a day.
Oh my
particularly
God.
For kids who are just learning how to read. Like this kind of practice is really, really important. And it helps build confidence too. So, you know, if your little ones know how to trace letters, if they're pointing out colors and shapes, all the way up to mastering different number operations, you know, doing spelling bee type tests, all that kind of stuff.
I love that.
And they can grow with it. Yeah. So there's four customizable profiles included with each membership. So you can cover all the kids in your house, unless you have more than four, in which case the spirits be with you. But yes, there are hundreds of stories and characters that your child will love. Everything from classics like Little Red Riding Hood to Thomas the Train, Angelina Ballerina, all of that, to fun, science, and you know, creative learning, all of that. Plus, it has access to the Activity Center for parents, which includes printables, videos, and offline activities. So if you're trying to work with your kids who are in preschool and do home learning stuff, this is a great app for you. If you would like to have the Homer app for your homeschooling needs, you guys can visit LearnWithHomer, that's HOMER.com/say this to start a free 60-day trial. So go to LearnWithHomer.com/say this, and you too can become an expert at teaching your children.
I really need that. I saw you a while back. Well, I think it was a while back, but now I don't know because every day is 9 years. But it was you and Jerry Springer on I want to say, discussing this and discussing the booing of the president and how, like, is that right or wrong? And I cannot remember who was interviewing you both, a woman, I think. And she had said something to Jerry about the fact that, you know, how can you say that that's a, like, this is like an episode of your show? And he was like, my show was supposed to be about, you know, dissonance and people just a mess. And that's why people get booed. You weren't cheering people on for their good moments.
You right. We didn't realize that would be a preview of,
right.
You know,
and that's what he said.
Down the line.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and Reed, you kind of made that same point where you were just like, listen, like, I'm all for, you know, going high when you can, but you also do have to intelligently fight fire with fire. And I think that's what, you know, drew me to watching what you guys were doing, you know, with the Lincoln Project. I know that, you know, Jody and I've talked about that. And as parents, I will say that one of the things that came out, I think 3 days ago, 4 days ago.
About with your daughters.
With the daughters.
Oh, yeah.
Your ad with the daughters, which I posted right away. And
I don't know.
And you have girls, which I was wondering if you had girls or boys. Can you tell everyone about that ad and what made you guys make that? Because it was, I cried, honestly. Yeah. I don't cry easy.
I mean, we are blessed to have you know, I mean, look, you know, there's a lot of us who have been on television a lot. We get to do stuff like this with y'all. But, you know, we have this incredible team of just creative geniuses who we just like sort of found along the way. Right. It was like the big Lincoln bus was driving by and somebody was like hitchhiking, like, hey, you want to get on? And they're like, sure, let's go do this. And so that was one where, you know, look, as you said, we have done some stuff that is just, pardon my way to put this, but like rip your face off. Right. And then we've done stuff.
You can say
actually
anything you want on this podcast. Yeah. we've dropped the C word more times than we've.
Oh,
like,
well,
it's there's no.
I will not do that. But no, I'm don't. Glad to know that, that I could if I wanted.
I'll probably do it. Don't worry about it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And then we've done stuff that's flat out funny. Right. I don't know if you saw our ad like with Covita, right? When he returned to the balcony. But this was
Dreyfus's today. She reposted the dance, the Elaine dance today. Julie Weiss with his dancing. Yeah, that's right. You guys. That was fucking hilarious.
You know, we also have ones that we feel like, you know, are like serious and about. I mean, the thing that we want to be, regardless of whether or not it's funny, it's sad, it makes you angry, it is that then we want them to be evocative, mm-hmm. right? Because as you all know, you know, in your businesses too, right? Emotion drives everything, you know, whether or not it's sadness or laughter or whatever it is. And for us, you know, it just seemed to be a great way to reset, like really what's at stake. And, you know, I mean, I have two, as I said, we all have girls and, you know, they know what a bad guy he is. Yeah. I mean, and it's innate in them.
Yeah.
And so, and there's one of them right there.
That happens.
I know. And so, you know, what we have, you know, like I said, we have an incredible creative team who came up with these things. But we thought that was one that at this point in time, when, you know, Trump's, you know, behavior, either from the first debate or his COVID diagnosis, or now whenever he goes out on stage, he just says terrible things. I mean, obviously he's been a misogynist his entire life, and that's not even the right word. I think it would only be like the Germans probably have a word for it. I don't think there's a word in English.
The Germans have great words for very obscure things,
we're going to do one that focuses on sons as well. Right.
Oh,
because for, you know, I mean, I think sometimes, you know, I love the fact that my girls are powerful and they have enormous personalities and they don't let anybody get away with anything, nor does my wife. You know, I think sometimes we forget that like boys need to be told like what's right and what's wrong. And that doesn't mean you have to be like, you know, some white knight who rides in on a horse, but it does mean you need to be respectful and you need to understand what's right and what's wrong. And I think for us, one of the things that I think is most troubling about Trump's presidency is that it has unleashed all of these guys, mostly white guys, to be the assholes they've always wanted to be and were never allowed to get away with because it was socially unacceptable.
Right.
And I think that that's frankly a genie that's got to go back in the bottle. And I'm not talking about, you know, like toxic masculinity or anything like that. I'm just saying that there were guys who are like, otherwise probably not bad guys, but they, you know, they get the impulse and they're like, sure, why not? Everybody else is doing it.
That's what it's become too, is it's, you know, when you have a leader of a country and, you know, yes, do those of us on the left know that there have been shitty presidents on the left that took advantage and did, of course.
Right.
But this, what we have seen, you know, like you said, in this last 3.5, you know, almost 4 years has just been completely, unreal.
Right.
The amount of mob
mentality of like,
right.
What you're saying, you know, to your point, Reed, it's like they didn't necessarily ever think they were going to be that guy, but you get enough guys, you know, and girls for that matter, let's not take them out of this, you know, saying these things and doing these things and like you join. And just so our audience knows, the video we're talking about, the ad we're talking about is an ad that the Lincoln Project made about, it came out like 3 or 4 days ago. And it's all about, it's all clips, actual clips of how Donald Trump speaks to women and what he says about women and the name calling and the bullying and calling them stupid. I mean, like, forget about the grab them by the pussy. Like we're at the point of, I mean, the one that gets me every time I've watched, and I've watched it like 7 times, is when, you know, one of the reporters, you know, asks, you know, I'm sorry. Like I didn't mean to say that. And he's like, yeah, I don't know why you said that. I don't know why you say most of the things that you say.
The ad is called Girl in the Mirror. Mm-hmm. And he said, it's okay. You don't think, you never do. And she says, excuse me?
Excuse me? Yeah. It's her reaction.
And she's like, what?
What?
And just if you're sitting on the South Lawn of the White House as a reporter, as a journalist, talking to the President of the United States, like, you have worked long and hard and probably a lot of inglorious places for a long time to get there, right? Like, it's not an easy gig to get. And he's so ugly about it to everybody. And just, Jody, you know, just to bring it back to Newport Beach, like, we were down there in May, or to Orange County, we were down there in May, and there was like this, you know, Trump boatercade thing, right, that went around Newport Harbor. And they were just such, like, they just, like, they were they wanted to make people angry, and yeah, the angrier people got, the happier they were. Mm-hmm. And there's this guy who rolls up, he has this big dude, too tan, and his blacked out Range Rover, right? And he's got a "Don't Tread on Me" sticker on the bumper. And I'm like, this is a guy who's never been tread on in his life. Right. Right. And right. So like, I mean, who makes this guy's life harder on a daily basis? Right. And so it's just, it, to me, that's one thing that I think has really been, you know, bad for all of us. And again, you know, the president of the United States, we don't have kings, right? We have presidents, and their behavior, you know, is often a reflection of our behavior, mm-hmm, and vice versa. And so I think when you see, you know, it's not just about women, although that's a lot of it. If you see the way he acted in the wake of the death of George Floyd,
yep,
and you saw the looting and shooting remarks and the, uh-huh, and the Bull Connor and the George Wallace language, I mean, I would say that it's not surprising that a lot of local cops, you know, went batshit crazy on protesters, because I think, yeah, they thought from on high they weren't going to get in trouble for it. And my guess is most of them never have.
I mean, I've been out at a lot of protests.
Yeah, goes out a lot. Active,
yeah, in the protest community here in Los Angeles. And what I have seen, the emboldening of police targeting specific independent journalists, photographers, mm-hmm, and how the other side feels that they can do whatever they want because the police ultimately protect them. It's unreal, and it's so crazy. And when you tell people about it, people that aren't there don't believe it, that that's really where we've gotten to in this country and in this political insanity that we've created.
Jody was at a protest, and I'll let her tell it, but where she, mm-hmm, actually witnessed, you know, people get run over, who are on the opposite side, run over, and the police did not do anything. They did not arrest them, correct? They did not arrest them.
They let them go. Well, one of our protesters got hit. We were turning cars around several blocks away, and this giant truck drove right through the side of the protest after they had ample time. And it was in the evening time, so there was not a lot of traffic. There was 15 other cars that turned around. Anyway, he drove right through us, hit one of our protesters, fractured her skull. She went sliding off the ground. And he drove right over her and drove off. Some of our people gave chase, and the police found the guy, and he said he feared for his life, and right, which I was a witness to. And it's amazing, you know, people just, they're like, I saw it on the news. And you're like, no one started yelling at him until he was running over people.
Yeah.
You know, right. and he was released, and it was fine. And I've seen that now. I've been at 5 different protests. Well, I've been at several different protests, but I've seen that happen 5 times. I've seen cars hit protesters at least 5 times. And almost every time they get away with it, except for one incident down in Yorba Linda, where it happened with one of the coalition organizers, who was a Black woman, who was trying to get out of the parking lot, and the Trump supporters had smashed her windshield. And then she was pulled out of her car, and they arrested her, and she's currently being held for $1 million bail. Now, I'm not saying that I wasn't at that protest. I'm not saying that either party, you know, I don't know what the whole situation was, but all I know is that there's been a huge difference in how it's handled.
Yeah. It's indicative of what's going on.
And I think the more that people are hearing this stuff from people who have been on the Republican side or on the more independent side or worked with, you know, prominent Republicans, John McCain, people like that they respect, I think that's been such an incredible weapon against Trump, is because he thinks he's invincible, and he thinks that people of his own party aren't going to criticize him because so many of them have not.
Don't.
Well, and you coming out as a Republican, and quite frankly, as a parent, that I feel like is so powerful, because, you know, everybody, you would hope that, you know, everybody is voting in the best interest of their children. Or in COVID's case, in the best interest of their parents if they don't have children. So right. I think hearing from, you know, from you and from Republicans that are speaking out against him, that are also speaking up for their children, because that's why that ad spoke to me so much. Also, it's like, this isn't, and it's something I've been battling in the mom group that I run and have run for, you know, upward of 10 years now, where, you know, moms jump in and they're like, I don't want to make this political. And we've gotten comments about that on the podcast. People are like, please don't make your podcast political. It's about parenting. There is not a separation of parenting and politicalness at this point. I'm sorry, but there's just not. There cannot be, because we are actually fighting for our children now. And if that's not a parenting issue, I don't know what the fuck is.
No, look, I think that, I mean, can you imagine a time, and we're not that far away, hopefully, when like the president will not tweet. Maybe you'll hear from him or see him once a week, right?
Please,
like it'll be quiet. Right? Like everyone's exhausted. And that's people who support him and who don't.
Right.
And so we and then, you know, you throw the actual physical health toll that so many of us are dealing with on top of it. You know, it's a tough deal. Look, my parents, you know, we haven't seen them since Thanksgiving last year. Mm-hmm. They just told us, you know, after Dr. Fauci said, you know, the next 6 to 12 weeks are going to be some of the roughest, like they're not coming this year.
Yeah.
So it, you know, there's a good chance it could be 18 months, 2 years between the time that my parents see their grandkids, right? Which, as you know, that means they haven't seen my little one since she was 7. They might not see her till she's 9. Right. And so, you know, and as you all know, like it's fine to do this with us, but it's not the same when it's your grandkids or your kids. I mean, it's not the same.
No, not at all. My parents, like I said, they live in Orange County, and you know, it's been in the beginning of the pandemic when there was still debate about mask wearing and stuff. Well, there was never debate from the science.
Right.
But my parents were like, we can't leave our house because they would go places and nobody wanted to wear a mask, or a majority weren't wearing. And so they were like, well, I guess we're just trapped in our house. And, you know, the political games that have been played, we've lost over 217,000 American lives.
Okay, I think it's safe to say that making sense of time in 2020 has been a little tricky. You know what I mean?
To say the least.
Yeah. So as the year comes to a close, you know, you might have some important timelines that you actually really want to keep track of and better understand, one of which might be your reproductive system.
Oh, I know a lot of people who really got to keep track of that stuff when they're trying to, you know, have babies.
Well, I mean, it took me a really long time to have my second kid, like, you know, and I so wish that modern fertility had existed when I was trying to get pregnant with Lulu, because it's amazing. I mean, do you know that that's just with one simple finger prick, it can unlock tons of insight into your reproductive health? Like, I'm talking your egg count, menopause timing, which is probably where I'm headed. You know, if your hormone levels, you know, indicate conditions like your thyroid disorder or PCOS, which, you know, is a big deal. So all these things that are like really good for you to know if you're tracking your fertility. And that's why, it's why modern.
I mean, kind of good to know even if you're not trying to get pregnant, right?
Right. Just to know about your reproductive system. And that's why modern fertility was created. It's the easy and affordable way to test your fertility hormones at home with a simple finger prick. Mail it in with the prepaid label, and then you'll get your personalized results within 10 days. Traditional testing from your doctor can cost over $1,000. But Modern Fertility only costs $159 to get the same information. And if you go to modernfertility.com/say this, you get $20 off of your test. That's a good deal. Yeah. Oh, and if you've got an HSA or an FSA, you can use those dollars on Modern Fertility, which is so amazing. I love that.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah. You'll get insight into how many eggs you have. Like I said, hormone levels, all the other fertility factors, and the results go deep into what every hormone means. And you can also talk one-to-one with a fertility nurse to review your results and options for next steps. So, you know, if you want kids today or someday in the future, or like you said, you just really want to know more about your own reproductive system.
Yeah. Your hormones, what's going on.
If you're going to, you know, hit menopause soon, like me, because I'm really, really old, anything like that, you need this. So right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/say this. That means your test will cost $139 instead of the hundreds or thousands it could cost at the doctor's office. Get $20 off of your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/say this. That's modernfertility.com/say this.
talking about that, you know, the craziness of the news cycle, I couldn't even tell you the last three big scandals because there were like 50 others that happened. Yep. And I get all confused and I can't remember living in a time like that. But he has created this world that we all live in of breakneck scandal.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it's just, we move on because something else terrible has happened.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine living through another point in my, in my life where that many Americans have died and we're still kind of like, I don't know, should I go to Sturgis? Should I not? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, should I paint my tits with the American flag and go hang out with other people and get drunk?
Look,
or no?
Whatever floats your boat.
I mean, that's cool. Like, if you want to do that, but not in the middle of a pandemic. You know
you can do it, do it on Zoom. If you want to paint your tits the American flag, that's fantastic. Zoom that shit out. Maybe not to your kids' class, but, you know.
I've Zoomed them to Celia. No, I
wish. You know,
y'all are very close.
But that's the thing is like it, you know, we have lost our perspective.
Sure. I think that's right.
Really,
I think it's
matters.
A great way to put it.
Yeah. Really important because we've gotten hit with so much bullshit day after day from, like you said, tweets to actual scandals to getting his tax returns. Like, and nobody even fucking cares about that anymore because he set up this climate for us.
Yeah. I mean, look, if it's the taxes, if it's COVID, if it's, you know, the stuff with the Russian bounties, right? These Russian, you know, the Russians paying to kill, like all of these things would be presidency ending months long scandals, right? Yeah. Where nobody in Washington covered anything else. Right. And to your point, Jody, we now have like one a day.
Yeah.
And so
it's like a blowjob scandal. Like, can we just go back to like one blowjob scandal and that's it? I'm like I'm almost sad that I say that, but like really, that's all it was that basically fucking did that. Like,
you know, that's the thing is we've gotten it and it's by design. I really truly think he and his team know. If you just stir up more shit constantly,
right? No, that's right.
More serious stuff because it blends in with all the other noise.
Well, let me say this: so the guy is not stupid, but he is ignorant, and he has bad intentions.
Yes,
but he does have very good, like almost preternatural instincts when it comes to distraction, right? And throwing bright shiny objects up, you know, either unintentionally or, as you put it, like with the tax return stuff. Because there's just, I mean, because he's like as bad a person as you could be. I mean, you know, in Washington, I worked there for a number of years and we used to call it the FUMU principle, which was fuck up, move up. Right. Like he is like the example par excellence of that. Like he's failed at everything in his life and somehow he sits in the Oval Office.
Yeah.
You know, and everything has always worked out for him. He's been the luckiest SOB ever. You know, I think the difference this year, candidly, is that like COVID doesn't give a shit, right? The virus doesn't care what he thinks about anything. And to your point, he and his, and you know, Kushner and all these guys, they made a conscious decision not to own the problem. They didn't want to own the problem because they didn't want to be responsible for it if it went south. Well, of course, that meant that, you know, the federal government in this country, whether you like it or not, and I can understand why a lot of people don't, has the greatest collection of people, experts, assets, money that humankind has ever known, And most of them sit on the shelf all day, every day, because Jared Kushner didn't care about, you know, people in blue states. Let them die, he said, or New Yorkers, let them die. Right. It's their fault. It's their problem. And that's just not, it's antithetical to, you know, look, if you believe in democracy, then the deal that America, that people in democracies make is that I will allow myself to be governed by these people we choose. Mm-hmm. The flip side is that for that permission, like the first job is to protect us, right? Like that's why we need you, or to build roads or whatever. But in this context, it's to protect us. And like they failed in it. And he's going to continue failing it. And so, you know, we in the next 2 weeks, we'll probably pass 250,000 Americans that have died. You know, they're setting up field hospitals in Wisconsin now.
Yeah.
Iowa won't be far behind. You know, where I live, you know, you can tell it's on the rise, right? There's people we're now one degree of separation away from people we know getting it or getting super sick from it. So, you know, it just politically, you know, Donald Trump is losing the senior vote by like 20 points. And Republicans, even that lose the presidential race, never lose the senior vote, ever. Right. Old people always vote for Republicans. He's going to lose them and lose them by a lot because they've been locked in their houses. Like my parents haven't seen their grandkids, have seen their friends die. They've been sick and, you know, we're on death's door, whatever it is. And so, you know, all the things in his life, I guess, are coming back to roost. But like the next week, you know, is going to be bananas. Like every day he's losing by more will be more insanity because, you know, he can't imagine losing, right? I don't think he even wants the job.
No,
I think he wants to be in office. Right. He wants to be in office because it protects him from prosecution, but he doesn't actually want the job.
Right. Right. Well, this is what I've been working with a group called Refuse Fascism for a while over the last few months. And that's, you know, been one of the things we've been talking about for since he was elected was just this encroaching sense of he's using the office of the presidency as protection. And he knows that. And that makes a person incredibly dangerous.
Yeah.
When they know that everything that they have to lose, and someone like Donald Trump, who doesn't want to lose no matter what, someone like that is put in a position where they have to keep power, things get beyond scary.
Yeah.
You know, and particularly, I think, in a country where people think that that will never happen or can't happen, that we're somehow immune from, you know, somebody like that coming to power. It's been an interesting thing to watch over the past few years, you know, with groups like Refuse Fascism to come forward. And now everyone's like, oh shit, this might be really serious. And we're like, yeah, we saw this a while ago.
Scary. Well, look, I mean, even as a former Republican, I was never a very good conservative. And if you're in politics, like those are two different things.
Yes.
Right. I was a Republican. I was never really a conservative. And I'm not either now. But, you know, for Trump and like all of these people who are Republicans that follow him, there used to be sort of three major stools of the Republican mindset: individual liberty, fiscal responsibility, and sort of a moral and muscular foreign policy. And it left enough that like people could come back across the line when they wanted to, right? And said, okay. But like, if you are a Republican who supports Donald Trump and you're like, oh yeah, he sent federal agents wearing masks and no name tags into the American streets, like that is antithetical to American conservatism or Republicanism. Like that is an absolute overreach of federal power. And like, it happened. They went and started a bunch of fights in Portland and like, whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
It's amazing how many people are like, well, they deserved it. And you're like, hold on. missing the bigger thing here, and what I keep saying is over the past, you know, over the past 3.5 years, what Trump has done is set up precedents in our country that are now there, that now exist, that becomes very hard to undo. Now, yes, we've all hated Donald Trump, but there are definitely some things that he and his administration have been allowed to get away with that now when you go back at some point and somebody else tries to do it, they go, well, it's been done before. And that for me is the scarier thing, is that what you're setting up for, well, this was acceptable behavior at one point. I don't think any of us want to ever have anything to do with a Trump-like person again, but there's a large population of the country that's kind of on board with it. So,
I would say I was doing something, I don't know, maybe it was our own podcast last week. And I said, you know, if Joe Biden wins and he takes office, and there's somebody in his administration that tries to bend or break these rules like the Trump people have because they saw they'd get away with it, like they have to be the first person tossed out, like very publicly.
Right.
Right. Like if you're going to be the repair of the institutions,
then
you have to root out your own people who are breaking the rules. And look, presidential administrations, especially White Houses, you know, they're very superheated atmospheres. Mm-hmm. You have probably more perceived power than actual power. But you know, you control a lot of people and a lot of money, and you can do a lot of people a lot of favors. And if you don't care about the rules, we've now seen, well, all right, you know, use the White House as a backdrop for a political convention. Sure, what the hell?
Sure, why not?
So there's got to be a lot of repair work that happens, you know, when this guy's gone.
Yeah. I have a question. I have a few questions for you, Reed, but first I'm going to just to sort of tie it into what you were just saying, but B, the title of our show, which is Never Thought I'd Say This. I read a piece that you wrote for NBC News earlier in, I think it was in April, honestly. And I had screenshot it. It might've been later and thought, oh my God, this is such an interesting quote. Little did I know we'd end up talking to you. And I'm going to read something that you wrote because I feel sure. like maybe this is something that you never thought you'd fucking say.
Sure.
it is not conservative to stand silently by and watch as the president of the United States employs federal authorities into the city streets. The act flies in the face of the rule of law and due process, and it is an abusive government overreach. National Republicans now only cry states' rights when it suits them. For them, if it's a blue city in a blue state, prep the tear gas and load the rubber bullets. If it's Trump supporters toting AR-15s and Confederate flags and calling for Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer's ousters.
Or kidnapping.
Crickets. Yeah. And this was before that.
Right.
Right.
So I read that and like, it's weird.
I can see the future.
I mean, what the fuck? Did you ever think as somebody in the GOP that these were any of the things that you'd ever have to fucking say? And to that extreme, I guess, or that mark, is this something that you talk about with your daughters? What's going on? Do they know what you're involved in, what your work is, and how, and you know, why you are doing what you do?
They do, but you can probably appreciate as folks who have very busy lives, it's more like they absolutely know what it is, but it's more in the context of like how much time it takes away.
Yeah exactly.
Right. Uh-huh. I hope one day they'll look back and we'll be able to have a conversation about it. I think they broadly get it. They're young though. Right. But like, you know, I do like to think I do it for them. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's a lot of easier things to do than like go after the president of the United States on a daily basis. Right. Almost everything is easier to do. But you know, the beauty is too, is like we, you know, there's the mission is very simple. It's very clear. And we believe in it completely. So it makes it very easy to get out of bed. It makes it, you know, you don't have to rationalize, at least I don't. I don't have to rationalize with myself why I did something. Does that make sense? Where I know
completely.
I have a lot of friends in Washington, D.C. who are working both sides of this, right? They're working for a pro-Trump organization making a bunch of money while they're working for a Republican senator making a bunch of money who they're telling, like, get as far away from Donald Trump as you can.
Of course.
Right? Like, you know, everybody's got to make their own choices. I don't have to agree with your choices and you don't have to agree with mine, but at least I know I sleep well at night. And I don't have to rash. I don't have to look in the mirror and say, well, I did it for my family or I did it for my business. Like you can tell yourself that, but let's be clear. Like you wanted to see the extra zeros and commas in your bank account. That's why you did it.
Right.
You took advantage of an opportunity and you didn't care about the greater good or what matters. Right. And you know, that's not unusual. You know, DC, just like every capital city, is full of apparatchiks who are just trying to get through to the next thing. Right.
In the same article, you said that you called them, I wrote it down, you called them scarecrows on America's political planes, empty husks of individuals who traded their principles and their consciences for political expediency. Well,
yeah, that was inspired. I get one of those like a month.
That really
genius has come.
That sums it up. Yeah. I'm dying to know this. Have you met Trump? I don't know why I want to know, but I do. Is that okay?
I don't know. I never have. I know some of our other guys have, but I certainly haven't.
Maybe behind bars. Do you want to just like go in and wave? Be like,
no, I think I'm good. I think I'm good. I live thousands of miles from Washington, D.C. I have no desire to go back.
Fair enough.
I like to go to New York to visit. That's about it.
Yeah, that's about it.
Well, I don't know about you, Jody, but I'm not really going out and socializing these days and meeting new people. And I have always had a really hard time meeting like-minded moms, which is why I think, you know, you and I got so close so fast, because you're one of those.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, unless you're a part of a mom group, and trust me, as we know, some of those mom groups, they go off the rails a little bit.
Yeah,
and,
a little bit.
You know, sometimes it's women all over the country and you want to know women who are nearby, who are at a similar stage in life. And Peanut kind of gives you that.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I was just going to say. That is an amazing app. Peanut is the app that helps you meet like-minded moms and moms-to-be, which I really love because, God, when, you know, I was pregnant, having like somebody I could ask questions to, build friendships, ask like what's happening to my body, what to expect next. That would have been amazing. And that's what Peanut does. It provides access to a community of women who are there to listen, share information, and offer valuable advice. Whether it's understanding IVF or adoption, pregnancy, first years, nursing, you know, that's a big one.
Oh, yeah.
You need help. And Peanut is a place to connect with women just like you. I love
that's it. Super. I think it's super important because, you know, we're having, I mean, first of all, like you said, going out and meeting new moms, you wouldn't be, it's not like you're at, you know, the kids' music classes anymore or anything like that. So, you know, moms are out there struggling, and particularly like women who are pregnant around the same time or just have new babies. Oh, it's so nice to connect with other women who are in that, you know, newborn stage with you sometimes.
Yeah. And even, you know, with teens, I mean, I tried it out and I got into a whole discussion with a mom that I'd never met before who has a teen. And we talked about that, and turns out, you know, she lives pretty close. So we might be able to have, you know, a social distance coffee date or something like that, which is nice. Really, really cool. You know, it's just a really nice way to meet women and other moms that are on the same wavelength as you. And like you said, it's really hard to find that. So, you know, if you guys want to try Peanut, download the app for free today. You just head to peanut.app.link/say this. That's Peanut, peanut.app.link/say this, or find it on your app store.
I mean, it's interesting, you know, people say that on my, because I have been very publicly anti-Trump and also very cutting and biting in my responses.
People hate her, which is basically trying to say.
Do, very much so, which is fine.
Hey, listen, we made a QAnon death list in Maine this week. It makes you feel better.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I have I've made it on the bot lists and all of that. And
we're ahead of the Illuminati and behind the Muslim Brotherhood. So I don't know what that tells you.
Well, I feel to be left out. What do I have to do to make some like shit list besides drugs?
But just keep hanging out with me, Celia. I'm working my way up on all the alt-right lists. But you know, somebody said that they were like, "You're losing your followers. You know, you should stop being political." And I said, "Here's the deal. Luckily, I give more of a shit about who I am as a person than how many social media followers I have." I said, "I can go to bed at night knowing that people don't like me, but I sure as shit better like who I am when I lay my head down on that pillow."
Yeah. Well, sure, of course.
And that is why, and I know that there are a lot of people, you know, particularly in entertainment, who some have been very vocal and some have kind of been like, "Well, I'm not going to play." And I'm like, you know what? I wouldn't feel as an American okay in allowing this to continue on without stating my vehement disapproval of what is going on. And thank God that this is the country where we get to do that. And I keep reminding people, no, this is actually the freedom of speech. And they, you know, you get to do it too. You want to come on my page and tell me I'm an asshole and hate me. Okay.
Call you a goddamn
bag. But that means I also get to post on my platform about how much of a tool I think Donald Trump is. So here we are.
Yeah. And that's, see, for us, I think that's a really good way to look at it. For us, this is not about, like, we're not Democrats. Right. Maybe some of us will become Democrats. I don't know. But like we're called never Trumpers because I guess that's what we are. But like we see ourselves more as pro-democracy than anything. Like he represents, you know, an existential threat to, you know, talk, you know, you can say what you want on your Facebook page today. Another 4 years of this guy, like, I'm not sure.
Well, right. I mean, I already get shadow banned. I get lots of things that never wind up seeing the light of day on feeds on Facebook and Instagram. Comments of mine disappear, you know, all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, that's happening. You know, when you tell people that, they're like, that's not true. That's, you're like, no, it's happening.
And let me say the reason.
And of course, Facebook and Twitter and stuff are not, you know, they're private platforms. Yeah. So it's not free speech necessarily, but it is already, you know, there is a marked difference in the control of what is being said, what can be said.
And the reason Reed, I can say that the reason Reed's actually on this show is because I posted an article about the hysterectomies that ICE is probably still doing on women in detention centers. And my friend Scooter Scott, Scott Witkin, sorry, he's Scooter to me always.
Saw him on Saturday night.
You did. He commented on the article, and then he messaged me and was like, give me a call. I want to talk to you about the article. And what he said to me was that when he read it, he couldn't get it out of his head. And that right. all he could think about was Nazi Germany and how, you know, it, that genocide was the final, plan in Hitler's grand scheme of everything, and being able to stop procreation was all about that. And that he had reached out to you, talked to you, and then had wanted to get the two of us to talk because he was hoping that we could do the show with you, me and Jody. And I think, that again, back to our kids, like that's such, and as a mom, like that's sure. such a scary fucking thing to think about, doctors being able to do that to women who have no voice, and then following that story and watching as, women were being ready to come on the stand and testify. And then all of a sudden, Trumpers, whoever his camp was, coming in and sticking them on planes to fly them back to where they were so that they couldn't talk, just in the nick of time, a judge would sign something and keep them there. Like it's this, that shit. If people aren't paying attention to that and they think, well, those are people being held by ICE because they weren't supposed to be in this country. If you think that can't happen to us later, that they're not just going to start doing that to people that aren't citizens, but move into people who are citizens, but they don't like our opinions, you're insane. That's exactly how it started in Nazi Germany. And that's very fucking scary. As a Jew.
Well, let me say this, is that, there's a, I read a lot, right? I'm like, and that's the thing. Most of us at the Lincoln Project are history nerds, right? In our own way. And so we have historical context for every goddamn thing. And, the one thing I will say is that if you look back through history, whether or not a regime was left of center, right of center, the real dividing line is not ideology, it's humanity.
Right.
Whether or not a government, a leader or whatever, believed in humanity first or power first. Mm-hmm. And what you're talking about is, and I think we've seen this with Trump, he is a cruel guy.
Yeah.
He revels in cruelty, right? This is the same guy who said, shoot the illegal immigrants in the legs and sharpen the spikes on the top of the White House fence so people get caught on them. Like, this is not a normal human being.
He's an incredibly sadistic.
And he surrounded himself. Jared Kushner and his goons sat in a White House conference room somewhere and made a conscious decision to, not help large states run by Democrats.
Right.
Because it wasn't politically advantageous to them. That is the height of inhumanity. It's criminal. It's the banality of evil, right?
Right.
As Schmidt likes to say, this was a meeting, maybe in the Roosevelt room, maybe in the cabinet room, there were coffee and donuts, right? Yeah. There were aides sort of milling around. It was a very normal thing, but the same kind of meeting they had a couple of years ago when they were going to start taking kids away from their parents at the border, and everybody raised their hand. Yeah. Who's for this? Everybody at the goddamn table raises their hands. Who does that? Now, if you want to have a conversation about immigration policy, fine. But it doesn't mean separating kids at the border from their parents. And as sure as shit, and if you haven't listened to Ira Glass's This American Life about the border,
I did.
It's the first audio thing to win a Pulitzer Prize. It's absolutely incredible These border agents are basically told, rather than giving everybody the benefit of the doubt, the default is everybody goes back across the border. Well, of course, we know that, as soon as you cross the Rio Grande, or as soon as you cross back into, Baja, the human traffickers, the coyotes, the cartels, like, they are down there. These are not good guys, right? They are terrible people doing terrible things to people. Mm-hmm. And so we are supposed to be the beacon of freedom and humanity in the world. Right. And this is government policy.
Yeah.
And it's an absolute abomination, an absolute abomination.
And I do want to say, kind of in closing of this episode, that the fact that the three of us are able to sit here, mm-hmm. as someone who is, I'm quite far left,
I'm pretty far left.
He's pretty far left, but I'd say you're definitely, you know, Democrat. And I'm very far left, but have been pushing for Biden. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you are an independent slash Republican slash, you know, mm-hmm. who doesn't want Trump. And here we are all sitting and having a conversation.
Yeah.
And talking about, you know, policy and mm-hmm. standards and humanity and all of these things. And so when people say to me, you know, how are we ever going to come back from this? I do have that fear, because I do think that some things have been unleashed that have caused just ever widening
for sure.
chasms
for sure.
between, you know, the right and left that I don't know how are going to be repaired. But I do have hope, because I do know that I can sit and talk to people who are reasonable, level-headed citizens of America and citizens of humanity.
Sure.
That want the best for our country, but not at the cost of human lives.
Right.
Not at the cost of
children.
Yeah. Not at the cost of any of that. That we think, you know, there are ways to communicate and go back and forth and come together, even in our disagreements.
Sure.
In ways that are not as volatile as has been set up under the Trump administration. And
I mean, first let me say thank you to both of you for having me on. Let me say on that front, you know, I mean, you know, just to give you a sense of where we're going from here, once we beat Trump, you know, I do think that we will serve, you know, to the extent they want us, as a coalition partner to the Biden administration, because the next 18, 24 months uh-huh. are going to be about getting COVID under control.
Yes.
If people can't get healthy, if we can't get the testing in place, if we can't get the vaccines in place, nobody's going back to work. Nobody's going back
to
school.
Right. Our economy,
like whatever our new normal is. Right. Like, it's not the old normal.
Right.
OK. And then I would say that, you know, the next is to your point about this is, you know, Trump's not going away if he loses. He'll buy OANN or one of those. Mm-hmm. Fox will continue to be Fox. Steve Bannon and his goons are out there. Alex Jones and Mark Levin. Like, yeah. we will be in that fight, right? Like, we will be, you know, in the pro democracy fight, because they are not Democrats. You know, small D Democrats. They're not small L liberals.
No, right.
They are people who believe now in an authoritarian mindset, one that says they get to be right and everybody else is wrong, and if might makes right. Right. And that's not how we operate here.
No.
And so, like, we're going to be in that fight, and maybe we're better for it, frankly, because we're not progressives, because we know how to speak.
Exactly. I do think that there's something. That's why I said, you know, what the Lincoln Project has done has been vital, because you fight like they fight.
Right.
Yeah. You know? And we talked to Republicans like they talked to Republicans. Look, I mean, I always say this. If you go to a Pittsburgh Steelers game and, like, the F-35s, the Apache helicopters fly over, like, everybody cheers.
Right. Yeah.
Like, they're not Republicans. They're not Democrats. They're Americans. Americans love that stuff.
Right.
Right. Because it makes us feel big and strong. And normally that's who we are. We have not been that. We have been small and weak and sick. And I think that now is the time. Right. I think, look, we're going to be after, if Trump's the biggest vampire we invited into the house, like, there's a whole bunch of little vampires who are going to, like, as we like to say, they've bought their tickets. They just haven't taken the ride yet.
On the Trump because train, you said that in an article I know that I read. I loved that.
Right, because they're all authoritarian in nature. They all know that they have to replicate him in some way to either survive their own next elections or to try and be, you know, the Republican nominee for the presidency. And, like, they're not going to get away with it. Like, that's not how we're going to operate.
We are actually changing the air date. We actually record, as you know, because you're doing this with us, a few weeks usually beforehand. Your episode is going to air right before the election. So if there's something you would like to tell our listeners about going out and voting and the importance of voting, we would love that. Any words to there actually are Republicans that listen to our show also.
Sure. So. No, listen, I mean, I think regardless of how you're registered to vote, if you're not registered to vote, most voter registration deadlines are very late now. Maybe some have passed, but go to, I think it's vote.org has all the information you need. If wherever it is in your state, you know, if you're looking for specific information, you know, go to your Secretary of State's office or your county registrar's office, whatever your county government office is. If you can vote by mail, I would do that. If you can vote in person early, I'd do that too. If you feel comfortable voting on election day, you know, just be safe about it. But you got to turn out, you got to participate. We, as people who practice politics have worn out our welcome saying, you know, this is the most important election of our lifetimes. We say it every 2 years, right? Most of the time, it's probably not true. The difference is this time it is true, right? We're done crying wolf. It really is what I don't understand is I want to meet some undecided voters at this point in the campaign. Like, because it's not like
a percentage, I think
it is, but like, it's not like we're arguing over a 38.6% tax rate and a 35% tax rate, right? Like, it's two diametrically opposed visions of like where the country goes.
Right.
And so that's always fascinating to me. But like I would say is, you know, and also we just partnered with a group called Democracy Labs on their See Something, Say Something initiative. And you can go both to LincolnProject.us and Democracy Labs. You know, folks can take pictures or video of if they are being, you know, if they see voter suppression, if they're being intimidated. We catalog all of it. We make these people famous. You know, you have every right to go to that polling place and not be bothered.
Yep.
And so, like, do what you can. The reason why you hear all the craziness, all the scariness, all that other stuff, it's all to make sure you don't turn out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's all to make sure that you believe it's either A, too dangerous to show up. It doesn't matter if you show up. It's illegitimate anyway. Like, don't listen. It's all bullshit. Got to show up. If it's your friends, if it's your family, whatever it is, like, we have so many resources that we're happy to share. And that there are so many more people who've been doing this stuff longer than we have. And so, yeah, I just say, you know, I know it sounds simple and almost corny, but like, if you can, get out and vote. If you're not registered, get registered. And all the resources are there. There's a lot of people who put a lot of time and money into this stuff. And I just want to say thank you to you guys for having me on. I'm probably not the typical guest you have, but I certainly appreciate the opportunity.
Not the typical, but probably the most important that we've had on.
Oh.
No offense to any of our other guests.
We love you. But in this moment.
We don't give a shit about them. No, we.
They're going to call you fucking names.
I know. That's right. Most of them are my friends. They know I'm kidding.
That's sick.
But I will say, like, this is, you know, we really wanted to have you on, and we're really excited that this episode is going to be,
yeah.
I think it's going to come out on like the 28th of October. So it'll be just right before election day. And I just thank you so much for what you do. Thank you for coming on and sharing this message. And I'm really excited to see what the Lincoln Project becomes after this Trump presidency, and how you guys work and do some of the amazing things that you have been doing to try and reunite this country a little bit, because I know we need it. I know we definitely need it. And I know that we all agree it's not going to happen under Trump.
Absolutely. Listen, thanks again. And I hope that once we get this thing under control, we're going to rent a goddamn bus and drive all over the country just saying thank you to people. So we'll make an extended stop in LA and New York.
Would love it. Absolutely love it. All right. Well, if you guys out listening out there want to follow us on social media, you can follow us at Never Thought I'd Say This on Instagram and Facebook. You can email us at neverthoughtid@protonmail.com. Delia's smiling because I actually got it right. And
follow the Lincoln Project, please.
Yes, follow the Lincoln Project.
Yeah, at Project Lincoln.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, give them a follow.
And at LincolnProject.us.
Because they're going to be doing some great work, you know, before, during, and after the election. So.
Yes.
All right. Awesome. Now, remember, you guys, keep killing the parenting game.
And not your kids.
Never Thought I'd Say This is a co-production by Audioboom and Main Event Media.